Yeah, it's generation. Money, that Donald Trump theme song. Yes, it is. It's Generational Wealth Night Part 2. You planning for your next generation financial stability? Well, it's going to take some financial planning and what they say, money, 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 money. Dr. Ralph Steele is here to give you the tools to do so. So welcome to Let's Do a Radio, sponsored by DoItAllInTheMall.com. If this is your first time listening, you are in for some financial schooling. Today is Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. This is your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Aku Design, broadcasting to you worldwide. And guest speaker for the evening is Dr. Ralph Steele, who is a structured settlement broker out of Arlington, Texas, at Wealth Think Bank on Think Wealth, Generational Wealth Part 2. Do It All in the Mall is owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier, who has been in business for over 13 years. And Do It All in the Mall is a safe and secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores for all of your needs. You can shop, and listen to entertainment anywhere you are. You can make a difference nationwide. So why don't you just visit, take a tour, and shop at doitallinthemall.com. Excuse me. So please Skype or join in or even sign into the chat at 845-241-9985 and get your questions answered, as well as we welcome our guest host, Dr. Ralph Steele, structured settlement broker at Wealth Think Bank, bringing wisdom on the topic of generational wealth. Dr. Steele is located under the client carousel of Do It All in the Mall for your financial advice, or under the financial tab under Wealth Think Bank. Or after we hear a clip on generational wealth, we're going to hear from none other than a Dr. Ralph Steele. So we want you to welcome him with open arms and your ears and your pencils ready for any questions you may have of Dr. Ralph Steele. Yes, sir.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
No, we do not own those rights, but you know what we do own?
Dr. Ralph Steele is owner of Wealth Think Bank and Mediation Worlds, PLLC. His companies provide financial investment and also provide legal representation for employment cases. The financial investment business helps people start and sustain their financial legacies for their families. He's an international speaker and author of 17 books, the most recent titled A National Economic Plan for African Americans, available at lulu.com. You can also find Dr. Ralph Steele in the specialty section at doitallinthemall.com.
Yes, Dr. Ralph Steele. And first we're going to hear a short clip on the simple secret to generational wealth. So I'm going to let you listen to that.
What it should look like. And basically what I really think you'd want to do if you really want to build a long-term empire that's going to kind of be around for a while is I think you want to sort of, you know, train yourself on you know, the basics of investing. It's going to come through three channels. The passage of land, stocks and bonds, those kinds of assets, or businesses. That's it. Those are the three main ways that people make money in America. And so, you know, learn those three things and then learn how to form a proper estate plan so that when you die, which you will die, we're all going to die, you know, then that those assets will live long after you're gone. Like, that's really important. I spend a lot of time thinking about my death and trying to make sure I'm prepared to not just make sure the people that I leave behind are taken care of, but to make sure the institutions I build are still going to be here. You know, if you go back and you go 100, 200 years ago, I was watching a movie the other day called The Current War, and it was all about how Thomas Edison and George Westinghouse fought for control of this new electricity industry. And Edison, of course, with the help of the black people that were working with him, you know, was able to create, you know, the light bulb, the flow of electricity, so which out of that came General Electric. General Electric, I own thousands of shares of stock in General Electric, and it's done very well. The last 3 months, GE stock has made 35% on its on your investment. And all this came from people that couldn't see the vision of what the future was going to hold. I don't think Edison saw how big General Electric was going to be. And even bigger than that, he actually created the motion picture, which created a gigantic industry of people making films and movies and stuff, right? So ultimately, what you got to do is, you know, plant seeds now, create things now, and then create transition plans so that, you know, when you're gone, all that stuff isn't going to go to waste.
All right. So your money won't go to waste. And you will hear for the love of money.
Money, 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 money.
Tonight, we want greetings from Dr. Ralph Steele. It's always a pleasure having you discuss the mystify and debunk finding wealth, especially generational wealth, for our generations to come. So please go ahead and greet the Let's Do It Radio worldwide listeners and tell us about generational wealth. Say that 10 times. Or can you tell us, you know, just come on in and greet the people, and thank you so much for being on the show this evening, talking about generational wealth, Dr. Ralph Steele.
Thank you very much, Ms. Inez
You're
Brown,
welcome.
And thank you, Sharon Frazier, and I thank the radio listening audience today. This is a great day to be talking about generational wealth. And people, I just want to start the day by saying that if you are thinking about wealth, if you really want to think about wealth, you have to think about generational wealth. Now, why am I saying that? Think about life. All of us had a mama and a dad. And I know some of our moms and dads may not have done the best things for us all the time, and parents make mistakes and all that type of stuff. But when you really stop and think about it, all of us today have a great opportunity to join in with generational wealth. And I want to talk about generational wealth from two perspectives. Perspective one is you're talking about the grandparents, the parents, and the grandchildren. So you're talking about three generations. So when you talk about those three generations, a lot of times people think about, well, I'm not leaving my children or grandchildren anything because nobody left me anything. So the first thing is I want to help everyone change that mindset, because the way you increase wealth, not just for somebody else, but even for yourself, is when you consider. See, when we consider everybody as part of the wealth pool, and everybody's part of the generation, then now what we really are doing is we're becoming what is called being interdependent. What does that mean? What that means is that we financially share with each other, no matter if it's coming from the grandfather to the son, or the grandfather to the grandson, or the son to the father, or the son to the grandparent. What matters is that we all are sharing, and the same thing happens with grandmothers, granddaughters, with women, the mothers. The same things happen in that. So you're talking about now how people pool their money, how people unite, trust each other. And I know some people can't be trusted, but folks, let me tell you something. there's a lot of folks who can be trusted, and there's a lot of folks who deserve to be trusted, and there's a lot of folks who we can actually come together and pool money. And I'm not saying pool all of your money, but and here's really what generational wealth comes down to, folks. Right now, if you took a grandparent, a father and a mother, and then grandchildren, depending on the age of them, and everybody pooled at least 5% of their wealth, put it together. Now notice what I say. I didn't say all of your money. I just said 5%. Put it in a pool of money. Join together. Understand each other. Trust each other. Love each other. And guess what? Everybody wins. And now you have created generational wealth just from that one experience that I'm telling you about. See, for those of you who are Bible believers and who believe in God, or the Bible says, wherever your heart is, there will your treasure be. What is your treasure? Your treasure is your money. Your treasure is your wealth. So that's one way. I'm going to give you a second way that people can create generational wealth. Well, let's say either the grandparents, the grandfather, grandmother, or the mother or the father, or the son or the daughter, one of those, or two of those, or three of those decided to open up a business. All right?
Okay.
Let's say they decide to open up a grocery store or a restaurant or a car dealership or a clothing store. It could be any kind of business. And listen, folks, if every one of those, all three of those generations join in to support that business and really honor each other, guess what's going to happen, folks? Miss Inez, radio audience, that business will succeed. Because when you have three generations supporting a black business, it's going to succeed. I mean, you don't even have to – you can look at America. You got all other cultures. Businesses are being supported that way. Look at the Rockefellers. Look at the Fords.
Right.
Look at the Bushes. Look at Kraft. I mean, even the football team. Look at the people who own Dallas Cowboys football team. If you look at all of these rich people, all these people, I mean, even if, you know, some people don't want to hear about Trump, but if you look at the Trump, even look at the Biden, look at the Clinton. If you look at all of these people, folks, they are supporting their children, their grandchildren, their businesses, and they are succeeding. And listen, their business, I mean, look how long the Rockefellers been in business, the Ford. Look how long the McDonald's, the Crocs people who own McDonald's, started McDonald's, been in business. I mean, it is amazing how when people think about generational wealth, they don't think about that it started by somebody in that family.
Right.
Somebody in that family started that. And now if everybody in that family support it, guess what? Everybody
Will
benefit,
money forever.
Be blessed from that money. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody will.
We don't think like that.
Everybody will benefit. And folks, that's what we have to do. That's what it's all about. That's what I'm generational wealth is not just about money, folks. Generational wealth, ownership. It's about money, but it's about business. It's about people owning their own business. Two and three generations. It's about people owning land. Two and three generations. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And that's what if everybody understands that, then guess what? Everybody, listen, folks, this is my belief about generational wealth. Everybody owns a piece of the pie. Everybody. Everybody owns a piece of the pie. Listen. Something wrong with my radio. My phone is about to die. But anyway, I'm going to try to call back because it's getting ready to die on me.
Okay. You want me to say that again, please? Okay, his phone. Okay, so. as we wait for Dr. Steele to dial back in, we're going to hear a couple of commercials and a clip on generational wealth. There you go.
Nerds. This year?
Oh, I've got money goals.
Use my credit card points to finally go on tour again.
Learn about 529s to save my son's education.
Invest in black-owned companies.
Invest in green companies.
Buy a place closer to my family.
Refinance at a lower rate and save for a basketball court in my barn.
Have a better credit card than her.
Whatever your money goals, we know the smartest ways to make them happen. Discover and compare the smartest credit cards, mortgage lenders, and more. For all your money questions, turn to the Nerds.
And the Nerd Wallet can be found under the financial section, under and along with Wealth Think Bank, PayPal, Netspend, LegalZoom, and other financial entities, and they do it all in the mall.com. So take a look and see what else you can find by shopping through Do It All in the Mall.
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.
And here are a few simple ways to build generational wealth in the Black community.
One of the things that I wanted to do was find a better way of truly walking and living in my purpose. And that purpose is bringing Wall Street to Main Street. And so when you start to think about, you know, the wealth gap, always the information gap. And so Black Wealth Matters is a movement which is truly predicated on a fully encompassing plan of helping people become more educated about the different avenues to grow their wealth. How can, you know, Black community start building generational wealth? Once again, it's a fully encompassing way of life of thinking. I think people need to start off budgeting better because a lot of people live out of their means. You know, when I say budgeting, I have a free downloadable worksheet that you can literally use. And then next, I think we need to start thinking about investing. But a lot of, you know, people of color are less inclined to want to invest their money in the stock market because they can't see their money. They don't know what's going on. They heard one bad story. But the reality is the stock market is growing 10% annually on average, right? And so people need to invest, whether it's in your brokerage account, whether it's in your, you know, your child's custodial account or your 401k or Roth IRA. And I think every family who has someone that depends on them needs life insurance because it is, I believe, one of the easiest ways that allows you to truly build generational wealth and pass it on to the next generation. And I think the fourth one that I want to say is truly investing for your children. You know, one terrible stat is I want to say the average American has like $50,000 in debt, and I want to say the average college student is graduating with about $30,000 in student loans. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest gifts to give your child is the ability not to incur student loans. And, you know, one way to think about that is a 529 account. It's effectively, call it like a Roth IRA. It allows you to put after-tax money into an account, that being a 529 account. That money is now invested into the stock market. It's going to be in mutual funds. That money is going to grow tax-free. You're going to be able to take that money out tax-free. And I think that's something that people need to establish for their children. And lastly, in that same realm of helping plan for your child's future, a custodial account. I think a custodial account is very important. It is just a brokerage account for your child, right? It gives them the ability to, one, start learning about money, start learning about the things that are important. And one of them is truly investing, and that's how you build for the future. That's how you build generational wealth.
Absolutely. And you said also that you and your wife are doing the same for your four-month-old daughter. She has a custodial account. So this is how you build generational wealth. Thank you so much for coming on. This is Ross Mack, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. As we continue with our show.
Welcome to Do It All in the Mall, an online shopping mall providing over 5,000 stores. We earn a commission when you shop that goes back to your community, making a difference nationwide. Take a tour and shop doitallinthemall.com.
And we're going to go with some of the cheapest ways to build generational wealth through life insurance and investments.
In America, was very slick because they re-engineered the definition of class.
Right.
Okay? Class no longer includes your net worth of wealth,
right,
material assets. Class is purely education and occupation.
Right.
That means a school teacher raising four children on her own at a $30,000 a year job, hypothetically speaking, because she has a master's degree in education,
yeah,
and because she's a school teacher,
right,
she's considered middle class.
Middle class, yeah.
But when you look at the amount of money she
takes
him, times the amount of children she's raising, she's below the poverty line.
Wow.
But she's considered middle class.
Wow.
Because they took, you understand, net worth and income out of the definition of class. And it's only education and occupation.
So how? What's the solution? So how do we get that?
Well, here's the thing. We got to recognize that wealth is intergenerationally created. Most people who get rich don't get rich in a lifetime. Oprah, that's once in a while. Bill Gates, that's once in a while. Most people are intergenerational wealth. That means what? That if black people want to catch up, we have to start saving wealth and passing it to the next generation. Our biggest problem ain't that we're splurging. It's that every time we splurge, we're stealing from our descendants. You're giving them no inheritance to get started with. But the white child, they're starting out $100,000 plus, a million dollars plus. And I think we have to become more strategic in the way that we do our health plans as well as our life insurance plans. Because what I'm learning with a lot of these white folks, a lot of them are getting their first, what you want to call a shock of wealth through the life insurance policy
of
their
parents. We talk about that too.
Yeah,
the life insurance policy.
Yeah. So there's so many different strategies towards wealth that we're not even thinking about because black people, our selfishness, it's also based on our, what you want to call it, emergency consciousness, survival instinct. We're only worrying about our life. We do not think about those who come after us. Now, you got to realize now, when we got out of slavery, white folks been already building wealth for a couple centuries.
Right.
We started behind the eight ball. Okay? So you got to play catch up. How do you catch up with somebody who's 100 yards in front of you? You have to run faster than they are.
That means
we have to sacrifice our spending habits more than everyone else in order to catch up. How does a people who are at the bottom waste money more than people who are at the top? So not only are you not catching up, you're not even thinking about trying to catch up.
Business. You insure yourself. Do black lives matter? Do minority lives matter? Hell yeah. But they would matter a whole lot more if they had a life insurance policy. Just think if every person in the ghetto, every minority had a $500,000 life insurance policy. Do you honestly think you would have to go somewhere and tell the police to stop killing you? Nah. The insurance companies will do it for you.
That's right. That's right. That is so right. And as we are waiting for our guest speaker to join us, we're going to be listening to the Growing Generational Wealth Gap. We don't want a gap. We want to close that gap in. We want our children, for generations to come, to be wealthy, not work as hard as we are. So we want to leave them something. We want to give them something. So therefore, we're going to listen to this clip right quick, and then we will be back on the other side.
It is the hope of almost every generation in history that their children and grandchildren will go on to live wealthier, more prosperous lives than their own. People put countless hours of thought and planning into things like their children's education, life insurance, and estate inheritances to make sure that this dream becomes a reality. But overwhelmingly, it is still not coming true. The long-suffering generation of millennials are now set to be significantly poorer than baby boomers and Gen Xers. Having entered the workforce during the fallout of the 2008 mortgage crisis and then been hit particularly hard during this current crisis has meant that today's millennials only account for around 3% of national wealth, where boomers at the same point in their lives accounted for 27%. This trend is more than just another pity party for our fellow latte-sipping millennials. On a wider level, the share of wealth owned by people under the age of 40 has shrunk from 13% to just under 7% in the last three decades. Even if we ignore the social issues of younger families having to make do with half of that of what their parents did, this can still have some serious economic implications. Young families establishing themselves in life make up a huge portion of consumer spending. Typically speaking, people between the age of 25 and 55 have been seen as the perfect consumer market. They have full-time jobs and disposable incomes, unlike younger buyers, but lack a bit of the weariness of older consumers. Therefore, if this trend continues, businesses around the world might start to lose out on their Goldilocks zone of consumer spending. So, what is causing this downward pressure on wealth in younger generations? What will this mean for the future of economic growth in nations like the USA? And could this just be a waiting game of wealth inevitably getting passed down? This episode of Economics Explained was made possible by our fans on Patreon. If you would like to gain early access to these videos before they're uploaded to YouTube, as well as participate in exclusive Q&A sessions, which are now held every Saturday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, please consider supporting our channel at patreon.com/economicsexplained. Now, even without looking at the headline figures, most people would be able to tell you that new generations are falling further and further behind financially. What they might not be able to tell you is why. Sure, two major financial disasters didn't help, and they often exclusively get the blame. But if anything, shouldn't these economic downturns hit established estates with more to lose harder than younger people with decades left in their careers to recover? Well, yes, in theory. But of course, it didn't really pan out like that. So what are the economic headwinds that are blowing younger generations off course? The foundation of building wealth is being able to save money. The reality is that for every millionaire lottery winner, startup whiz, or beneficiary of Great Aunt Birgit's estate, there are 100 millionaires that got there by earning good incomes, living below their means, and saving the difference. In a perfect world, all of these things being equal, this process actually naturally benefits younger investors. Consider two colleagues. One is a baby boomer on the verge of retirement, and one is a millennial who has just been promoted into this new job. Both are earning a good income of $150,000 per year, working as insurance actuaries. Both are very sensible with their income and save 50% per year after paying taxes and living expenses. Because of the age difference, the millennial worker is only just starting to build up some wealth and has around $100,000 saved into a diverse portfolio of stocks. The boomer, on the other hand, has been doing this for decades and has $2 million invested in a very similar format, as well as a family home that is fully paid off worth around $500,000. Now let's say a major economic downturn comes around and causes a 30% drop in financial assets and real estate prices. This means that the millennial worker will lose $30,000 in value from their portfolio, but that baby boomer would lose $600,000 from their portfolio and be living in a home that is worth $150,000 less. In this hypothetical example, the boomer has lost 25 times more than their millennial colleague. Now, I can hear what the comments section is about to say, and yes, these losses are not actually realized unless either party sells off their assets, and yes, the boomer is still a lot richer than the millennial, but consider this. Assuming that the market does not recover or that these losses are realized, it will take the millennial less than a year to recover the loss by saving their standard $50,000. The boomer, on the other hand, would take 15 years to make up the difference, which might be especially difficult when you remember that they were on the verge of retirement. The time series of investment returns over a long enough time frame are actually not very important, but short term, they can make a huge difference. In theory, people with more money take longer to recover from downturns, which we have demonstrated with our perfect little example here. All of that is to say that it's not enough to explain that millennials had to go through the 2008 mortgage crisis early in their careers and use that as the sole explanation for the growing generational wealth gap. There has to be something more. That something more is likely to be one of the assumptions that we made. We assumed that these two colleagues from different generations were earning as much, saving as much, and only using their regular income to contribute towards their savings, which is, of course, not always true. Boomers are, on average, further into their respective careers and therefore attract higher salaries. What's more is that even at the same point in their working lives, boomers were earning 20% higher real take-home incomes. This was all despite paying significantly less for their education. The average mathematics or statistics degree that you would need to qualify to become an actuary would cost just over $12,000 in 1980. That same degree today would cost a student around $80,000, which is more often than not paid for with debt. And even in this very generous example with two very high income earners, that puts the millennial 2 years behind their boomer colleagues in terms of saving money. And for most people on more average salaries, this difference could take decades to make up. Saving is another big one. If we were to take our example of a boomer and a millennial in the same role earning the same salary, it's going to be significantly easier for that boomer to save the prescribed $50,000 per year. A fully paid off family home means that not only is this boomer benefiting from appreciating real estate prices, but they are also avoiding having to pay rent, which in the major cities that actuaries tend to habitate tends to cost around $1,500 a month, conservatively. This either means that the boomer can live a nicer lifestyle while saving the same, or can save an extra $19,000 a year tax-free. One of the largest determinants of wealth is home ownership, with the median net worth of homeowners being $231,400, compared with the median net worth of US renters not even breaking into five figures. A quick disclaimer here is that, of course, wealthier people are naturally more likely to be homeowners because they can save a deposit and qualify for a home loan. So this correlation is not 100% causation, but on the flip side, people that are able to become homeowners almost always greatly benefit from being able to do so. And in fact, this weird quirk of statistics gives us some insight into one of the underlying causes of this discrepancy. There were undoubtedly some big wins for boomers and some strong headwinds for millennials, but this generational wealth gap is actually just a sign of a problem on a larger scale, a regular wealth gap. Ask yourself this, would you rather be in the bottom 10% of millennials or baby boomers in terms of net worth? The correct answer is that it just doesn't really matter. Both of these groups are worth pretty much nothing. It's at the other end of the spectrum where this difference becomes staggering. The collective net worth of all 80 million millennials in the USA is around $6 trillion. This is including everyone from the recent med graduate with nothing but a cup of noodles and $500,000 in student loan debt, all the way up to Mark Zuckerberg, who personally contributes around 1.5% of the total wealth of this collective net worth pool. $6 trillion is certainly an impressive figure, but just the top 3,000 richest baby boomers are worth more. These 3,000 multimillionaires and billionaires alone make the arguments of student loan debt, housing affordability, job opportunities, and financial instability almost completely irrelevant to the generational wealth gap. These factors do have some implications on the economy, but when we are looking at why one generation has such a large collection of total wealth, it's because it just so happens to be stacked with these massively wealthy billionaires. Talking about the fallout of the financial crisis in the context of the generational wealth gap would be like talking about a bad referee call in a Little League soccer game where one team just so happens to have Lionel Messi. Sure, those other factors aren't helping, but at the end of the day, it ain't going to make much difference to the final outcome. Now, uber wealthy people are nothing new, but never in history have they claimed so much wealth. And simply by virtue of the fact that boomers are in the age group that have had enough time to found major companies or have had those companies passed down to them by their parents, they tend to claim a larger portion of these statistical wealth outliers. Okay, but one last thing. Wouldn't this have all been the case when boomers were starting out too? But back then, their generation claimed 27% of national wealth at the same age that millennials only claimed 3%. Well, this is actually due to three main factors. One, the pool of wealth that tends to concentrate around 40 to 70-year-olds has swelled to extreme levels off the back of continued growth in financial markets over the past 100 years. This meant that 40 years ago, a modest nest egg accounted for a larger slice of a smaller pie. Two, yes, admittedly, baby boomers did enjoy a period of good incomes and low cost of living. There is no getting around the fact that this did help. But maybe not as much as the third point, which is that there were a lot of them. The baby boom is a reference to a figurative boom in the number of babies that were born after the end of World War II. When this generation went on to join the workforce, they collectively accounted for a much larger portion of the total population. This statistically meant that even if they were all worth as much individually, they would account for a larger portion of the wealth collectively because they accounted for a larger portion of the total amount of people. This chart here does highlight some very serious issues in the economy. but it's not nearly as scary as the publishers would like you to believe. Consider it like this. Say you start playing a video game like World of Warcraft. If you had started playing the game when it was first released in 2004, you would be doing all right for yourself. Theoretically, if you so happened to axe the very first pig or whatever in the game, you would have accounted for 100% of the total net worth of the player base, even if it was only very briefly. If you were to start playing the game one day later and slay that same boar, chances are it would only account for a tiny fraction of a percent of the total wealth in the economy because thousands of players have been hard at work for 24 hours, leveling up and making themselves wealthier. If you were to start playing the game today, you're going to end up on a server with the same people that might have been playing it for 16 years. If you were to axe that very same pig, it would only account for an infinitesimally small portion of the total wealth in game because this virtual economy is millions of times wealthier than it was back then. A quick side note is that we are terribly sorry for the inevitable butchering of some of the finer details around World of Warcraft. The research phase hasn't started yet, but a video on the economy of Azeroth is coming soon. Either way, millennials have started playing the game of life, leveling up and grinding for income decades after the largest growth period ever, which all begs the question about what this means for the future of this wealth. Amongst all of this, there is the comfort that eventually this wealth will be passed down from boomers as they eventually, well, die. Unfortunately, this does not mean that we can put our feet up, start the clock ticking, and call it problem solved. A lot of this wealth is in the form of private companies that won't be worth nearly as much under the stewardship of their eventual heirs. We covered this in depth in our video on the Great Wealth Transfer, and in many ways, this video is an unofficial part two to that one. So, if you are curious about that topic, go and watch that video once you're done here. Shameless plug aside, and even if we assume that this wealth transfer goes flawlessly, it doesn't solve the issue. Wealth keeps getting created, and most people leave their assets to their children, who are normally going to be around 50 to 60 years old, when they pass away. When this happens, it's likely Gen X that will be the next wealthiest generation in history, and then Gen Y, and so on and so forth, all while the youngest generation, which is just starting out from zero, or more likely starting out in debt, will continue to account for a smaller and smaller slice of a bigger and bigger pie. But is this actually a problem? Well, maybe not. In many ways, the dream of children being richer than their parents does come true. It's just that they need to wait until their inheritance check comes to them when they are 60 years old. On a larger scale, it could be a problem though. If more and more wealth pools amongst older generations, it could seriously impact the potential for growth amongst people in their prime years. These are the people between the ages of 25 and 55 that are out there buying bigger homes for their families, sending their kids to college, buying new cars, going on holidays, and overall being good little consumers. If a larger chunk of wealth is just sitting dormant with older people who have a lower propensity to go out and spend it, this may exacerbate the entire problem by denying young go-getters the opportunity to grab some of that money while it has been circulated around the economy. The generation...
So, I'm just ending that there. Dr. Wealth, who is the host for the day, he was having some difficulty, so therefore we are filling in. So I know I downloaded one generational wealth clip of none other than our friend, Mr. Kevin Hart. So after I play this quick commercial, we're going to hear what Kevin Hart has to say on generational wealth, because, you know, it will give a little lightheartedness to what we are listening to today.
DoItAllInTheMall.com. DoItAllInTheMall.com has partnered with over 5,000 of your favorite stores and businesses nationwide, such as Mary Kay, Avon, Amazon, among many others, to help make a positive impact within our communities. Proceeds from purchases made on DoItAllInTheMall.com are funneled back into the community. Afrocentric apparel, automotive, beauty, home goods, food, drinks, games, gardening, and so much more at doitallinthemall.com. So what are you waiting for? So come on and do all of your shopping right here in the mall at doitallinthemall.com today.
And that commercial was created by Lee Alston, and we have Late Night with Lee Alston on alternating every other Friday night at, since it's late night, it's 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. So I'm going to let you hear Generational Wealth and Financial Literacy by Kevin Hart. You can start today.
I feel that in today's time, what people are most selfish with is information. Nobody wants to give information. Mm-hmm. You got to ask for it. If you ask for it, then all right, maybe. Maybe I'll tell you some stuff, but it's a search and find.
You mean real good
information. Information about how to get to success. That's the want from everybody across the board on some level.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Everybody's success is different. This doesn't mean fame and stars. I'm not talking about that level of success for everything. I'm saying whatever your version of success is, to get to it, information from someone that's done it or that's partaken in it in some degree will only add to the value of your journey. It's only going to make it easier. It's not to say that you got to do what they said, but with that information, you're able to process it, maybe use it, maybe not.
Right.
But you got it.
Right.
That's what I wanted to do. I said, yo, I got a life. I got a hell of a life that I've lived full of ups, downs, potholes, cobblestone, speed bumps, flat road, U-turns, some smack brick walls that I ran into, some revolving doors of back and forth. And through it all, my mental has only gotten better because I feel like I've been in a mental gym, the mental fitness that coincides with life. You know, it should get better. Mm-hmm. You should get wiser. You should get smarter. You should be able to make better decisions. And all of my decisions came from the massive amount of fuck-ups. And I can now share those fuck-ups.
Oh, sorry.
I can now share the rights and the wrongs and the way that I handle all of the things that I've done. And people can just take that information and go, wow, I never looked at it like that.
Well, it gives them a better view of the landscape.
Yeah.
Especially when someone like you, you almost seem like an unattainable person. Like, how does he do that? How is he doing that? How does this guy go from Philadelphia to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world? How does he become one of the biggest stand-up comedy stars ever? How the fuck do you do that? You almost seem like an alien,
yeah,
you know, to people on the outside. But then when they hear you talk about your real life and talk about these fuck-ups and talk about these successes and talk about the lessons that you've learned, man,
yeah,
that's fuel for folks in a way that nothing else is, because there's a lot of people that are bullshitting online. There's a lot of these motivational speakers that haven't done shit. And it's a weird thing. It's like they're trying to give you motivation by like sort of reciting things that they think are going to work.
That they think yeah, you want to hear.
They haven't done anything. Someone who's done something, when you say it, people are going to listen. They're going to go, oh, and you're so honest about everything, mm-hmm, which is that's everything to people, because when you're pure, when your words are pure, people take them right in. They come right in. There's no like, oh, this guy's kind of fucking selling me something. Oh, this guy's
not selling
bullshit.
Shit.
Yeah,
I got I got nothing to sell. I had a talk with Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, a partner of mine, and we were doing this. We're doing this thing called Advancing Black Pathways, right? Where we're trying to cure financial literacy in the black community. We're on like year number two right now, right? And there was a conversation where, you know, they wanted to have said bankers go and talk to the kids in the inner city. And I was like, you can't send a white man that works for J.P. Morgan Chase to the inner city of said community, hood, whatever, to talk to these young black kids that has no idea about the life that the black kids are living. I said, what you need is people that have actually come from these environments. They have made it out of the environments and now understand how money works. Because now when I talk to you, I'm not talking to you with hypotheticals, and I'm not preaching to you about what you should do and what you got to do. I said, I'm telling you what I did that didn't work. I'm telling you how I fucked off money, and I'm telling you what I didn't know. Hey, guys, here's a fact. There is no education that comes with money in the black communities. It doesn't. You can go search for it. There isn't one. It does not exist. There is no one that is outright teaching the kids in a black community how to operate financially, how to set up for your future. There is nobody talking to you about ownership, homes, mortgages, investments, stocks. That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It's not until you get out of that environment that you meet some people that are planning their life accordingly that you start to ask questions. It's not till maybe college and on the later side of it that you're with people that are getting jobs in the future that you start to do it. There is no prep or education at a young age. I said, so you need a fucking man that can go there and go, hey, man, let me tell you why y'all got to stop taking these free credit cards. Let me tell you why you got to stop putting a cable in somebody else's name and continuing to fuck it up. Let me tell you why you got to stop being okay with not having a bank account. Let me tell you why you got to stop using the check cash places. There's nobody giving that information. I said, that's what I am. So if we're going to have a relationship, let's build it off of something authentic. Let's build it off of something that people can go, I get that. Since then, to go back to your point, my relationship has been based on me telling the truth. I told JP Morgan Chase, I want to go to the inner city and I want to have these discussions, but let me have them my way. I don't want to have it in a JP Morgan Chase way. And I got to credit them for backing me because they align me with other people that share the same stories, that have achieved certain levels of success, that speak to the same thing. So everything that I've done, everything that I'm trying to do, when I do talk about it, I come proven. I'm only talking about this because I really got knowledge about it. I don't got knowledge about it because I'm the smartest motherfucker in the world. That's not where the knowledge is coming from, Joe. My knowledge is coming from, hey, man, yo, don't walk through door number one. I walked through that
door. There's a monster in there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shit in that door. It wasn't until I came out that door that I saw those monsters that I knew the other monsters weren't as bad in door number two. But door number three is finally where you should go. I messed up, man. I went to the first two doors wrong. Why can't I give that to somebody that hasn't experienced those doors yet? Why can't I just get that information and possibly prevent them from walking into those doors?
And that's what's really valuable for people listening.
Yeah, man.
That's what's really valuable.
Yes.
Someone who's actually done it and done it wrong and done it right. And like, hey, listen, I fucked up. This is how I fucked up. That means so much to people. It really, you're advancing people's possibilities.
I think that's what life should be about.
Yes.
As adults, we have a job to do. Whether you want to admit it or not, your job is to set up the next generation. That's our job, whether you want to fucking admit it or not. It's your kids, it's your friends, it's whomever. You're supposed to live a certain way, do certain things to set up for the next generation to come and to be able to do better. If you don't...
All right. Okay, I'm going to change that so that we don't have all that craziness. So just one moment as I put on another commercial.
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.
Here's one that hopefully does not have the language that it did. Please forgive me.
Hey, everyone. This is Bola Shokumbi. I'm the founder and CEO of Clever Girl Finance, and welcome to Clever Girl Finance TV. So let's talk about generational wealth. You may have heard the term generational wealth before and thought to yourself, well, that sounds interesting. However, you have more pressing issues like getting out of debt, saving money, or pursuing other financial goals. But I want to encourage you to revisit this topic and the idea of building generational wealth, because this is something that is really, really important. And you want to keep in mind that building generational wealth is a long-term effort. So what is generational wealth? It's basically wealth that's passed down from one generation to the other, and you may have also heard of it being called family wealth or legacy wealth. And generational wealth is extremely important because this is how you can build a legacy, it's how you can positively impact your community, and it's also how you can set your children up for financial success at the same time teaching them financial responsibility. And for me, as a Black woman, as a woman of color, generational wealth is something that's really important to me. I want to see my children succeed. I want to see my community succeed. I want to see more Black and brown people like me succeed and leave legacies for their generations. And so it's something that I'm prioritizing. And as you think about it, right, you're probably like, well, that sounds like a lot to do. I'm still trying to figure out my debts. But keep in mind that you're here watching this for a reason, because you want to get ahead of your debts, because you want to get on top of your savings and your investments. And if you keep it as a long-term thing, you put generational wealth building on your long-term horizon, you have it as one of your goals, and it is entirely possible. So I'm going to talk about some key steps in which you can actually start to lay the foundation to build generational wealth. So one of the first steps to building generational wealth is investing. And one way you can invest is in the stock market. And this is getting really clear on your long-term goals and objectives, understanding your risk tolerance, understanding how investing works, and also making sure that you have a well-diversified portfolio. And you're probably already investing if you have an employer-sponsored account, an IRA or a Roth IRA. These are all investments that you're making towards your retirement over the long term. However, these are assets that you're building that you can also transition from a generational perspective. Another way to invest is by investing in real estate. And with real estate, you can create positive cash flow, you can build equity over time, and eventually you own the land and the property as an asset that you can transition generationally as well. So a really basic example is the home that you live in now. While that home is not generating cash flow because you live in it and you're paying a mortgage, you're actually paying down your mortgage over time and hopefully building equity over time to the point where you own this property outright, and then you can pass it down to your children. Another way that you can build generational wealth is by building a business that you can pass down to the next generation. And this is a great way to transition generational wealth, because about 30% of family-owned business actually transition to the second generation. Another way to transition generational wealth is by taking advantage of life insurance. This protects your family in the event of your passing, and it provides them with the financial capability to cover the expenses that were dependent on your income and more, depending on the type of policy that you have in place. For many, life insurance is one of the key ways in which they transition this wealth, because they're able to leverage that life insurance to pass down a lump sum of money to their children. However, it's very important to keep in mind that when you're transitioning large amounts of money, you want to teach your children as they get older financial responsibility and what it means to manage money well, so that when they get this money, they know how to manage it properly and they can continue passing down the generational wealth to their own children as well. And that leads me to another way of creating and transitioning generational wealth, and that is by investing in your child's education. It's about teaching them financial responsibility, and if you are able to, if you have your own finances in check, helping them to minimize costs with college debt so that they can get ahead in life when they get into the workforce by starting to save and invest as early as possible. So investing in the stock market, investing in real estate, building business, taking advantage of life insurance, investing your child's education, these are all some of the key ways in which you can create generational wealth. But once you've created this wealth, how do you go about transitioning it to the next generation the right way? Well, for one thing, you want to make sure that you have a will in place that highlights your exact wishes about how you want your assets to be distributed. And this is not about having millions of dollars in the bank. This is about basically laying out the plan for what you have now and what you build into the future, so that you can make sure that these assets are designated to your family members exactly how you would want them to be. Another way to pass down wealth is through custodial accounts and trusts. And this basically determines when your children will get control of these assets. You also want to make sure that you name your beneficiaries on your assets and your accounts that you have right now, and also on any assets that you acquire into the future or any accounts that you open that are tied to assets as well. So all of these things, having a will, having custodial accounts and trusts, naming your beneficiaries, these are all things that can be built into an estate plan. And an estate plan is basically what allows you to plan to transition your assets. And you can talk to an estate planning attorney when you are ready to help you establish this plan. So this is essentially how you create generational wealth and how you can also create a plan to pass it down. I hope you found this video helpful. And if you have, please stop by clevergirlfinance.com. Check out all of our awesome content and free courses, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at Clever Girl Finance. And don't forget to subscribe to this channel and tell all your best girlfriends about Clever Girl Finance as well. Thank you so much for watching, and I will talk to you in the next video.
Do you feel the Black community needs to be guided in a different way and do different things to improve our community ourselves? Then we would love for you to join our team at doitallinthemall.com to help guide our people to shop where they're important and where their money matters to help develop our communities ourselves. Nationwide, we've done it all, and we can do it again. Join us by going to the website, doitallinthemall.com, and fill out a contact form to be a guide in your community. It's free for you to help guide people in your area to shop where they're important and where their money matters. Let's develop our communities ourselves. Doitallinthemall.com.
I want to thank everybody. We have three callers on the line. Who have graciously called in for generational wealth. And let me see if I can get this one. And so I'm going to ask if anybody has any questions, and I'm going to just pull up the last four of your number, and then you can let me know if you have any questions. And I would love to pass your questions on to Dr. Steele. He was having, some technical difficulties with his phone, so I had to kind of fill in here and then, so please forgive me for the Kevin Hart clip. I did not know that the language was going to be in there, so please forgive me as I created another or got another clip. So call the number with the last four, 2888. Can you tell us where you're calling from, who you are, and if you have any questions on generational health that I can pass down to Dr. Ralph Steele.
This is Urban McCoy, known as the Soul Man, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey. Hey, Urban, how are you?
How you doing? I'm good. That was just great information. I didn't have any questions. I was just taking it all in.
Okay. I appreciate that. And thank you again for calling in and, you know, taking the time out of your busy day to join Let's Do It Radio as it comes on every day, just about, and Sunday service as well. So I appreciate you. And you sing at the Asher Theater as well, correct?
Correct. Every Saturday night, 7 p.m.
Okay. And so you want to tell us about what you do at the Asher and who you are at the Asher?
Well, yes. Yes, you know, like I said, my name is Urban McCoy, a.k.a. the Soul Man.
Mm-hmm.
I do the only Otis Redding tribute that they have in the country, you know, and I do that at the Asher, and I do it at other, you know, events, you know. But every Saturday I'm part of a Motown 59 show, which we are, you know, it's like a stage play or stage entertainment where we just give
show.
You the great you know, it's a show where we give you the all the great music from the early Motown, you know, like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, the Supremes, and I also do my Otis Redding on that show as well. And then also on that show, you know, the theater is owned by James Stevens III, you know, the man with the thousand voices. You know, he's a well-renowned comedian, impressionist, and, you know, it was just awesome that, you know, he's from South Carolina, but he went to L.A., Hollywood, you know, made a star of himself, and I think it's just great that he came back to the Carolinas to give you know, like the people in Carolina's a chance to display their talent. And, you know, it's just an awesome place to be. You know, like it's the only black-owned theater in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So, but it is open to white, black, all races. Yes. It's definitely Myrtle Beach.
Man, it's a Christian.
I have to get the address.
Oh, I think I have it once before. It's Mackinac, M-A-C-C something. I can always get that.
Yeah.
But yes, it's in Myrtle Beach. I guess I'm saying that right. Mackinac?
I think
it's 3550 Mackinac. Okay.
Mackinac, yeah.
And so, yes. So thank you so much for joining us and giving us that tidbit. And that's a generational wealth right there because, hey, if he passes down the theater to his children or to whomever's in the community, hey, you never know what might come out of there. So I appreciate you giving that shout out to
like hopefully,
about the Asher Theater. Go ahead.
Yes, like hopefully I'm putting enough work in to where as he can say, well, Irv, do you want to take this over after me? So, yeah, you know what I mean?
And the website is www.asher,
Asher Theater.
theatre.com. So, you know, if you're in the South Carolina, Myrtle Beach area, go ahead and check out the Motown sounds and as well as Otis Redding tribute. So it's wonderful. I have heard the Motown show. I have not seen the Otis Redding show, which one day I guess I'm going to have to come back and visit. Well, I said, I'll come back.
You will definitely miss out on the Otis Redding because it's the fourth Saturday every other month. It's the fourth Saturday at 2 p.m. Every other month at the Asher Theater is when I have my Otis Redding show. And I give you a whole hour and a half. And also, you know, it's like other Asher artists like Ian, the music man Davis, he's a part of it. And, you know, he's a five-time Apollo winner. And he sings and, you know, sings in my Otis Redding show. And I also have my daughter, Sierra Stark. She sings in it. I mean, she does an awesome Tammy Terrell, Ronette. I mean, she's the next budding star. I'm telling you, she's the next star. And so, you know, it's I'm going to have dancers behind me. I mean, like, we give you the works. We got the lights going, the dancing. We have the audience dancing. We have the audience singing with me. On certain songs, I'm picking out ladies and making them feel special with these songs I got for them. So if you ever come to the Otis Redding show, I'm telling you, just come ready to have a ball because it's going to be an experience, you know, because I'm very hands-on. I mean, I ain't touching people. I know it's Corona. But I'm very hands-on.
I'm intimate
with the crowd. I'm very intimate with the crowd. So if you ever take out Otis Redding show, I guarantee you, you'll be like, wow, thank you for inviting me. And I also want to thank you for having this platform for us to promote our stuff, you know, and I thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's Do It All in the Mall, which you can check out the Asher Theater. I forgot about that. There's a link on Do It All in the Mall on the homepage, and you can just click on that that link, and it'll take you directly to the website of the Asher Theater. So thank you to Sharon Salisbury Frazier for having the platform. I'm just here just helping everybody out, trying to, you know, get out their music and so on and so forth. So I appreciate you calling in, but you say you don't have any questions. But, hey, generational wealth can be achieved if we all come together. And that's what Dr. Still was saying before his phone died on him. So, you know, if we come together, we can be rich. You know, each one teach one, reach one. You know, and we could all have a piece of the pie. Yeah. So that's how that goes. But thank you so much, Mr. Irvin, the soul.
Well, I mean, I just have a comment on it. I don't have a question, but, you know, I have a comment because, you know, I mean, I would say within the last, I mean, I've always been a person who like putting in work, but I would say the last 3 years of my life, I wished I would have had this type of work ethic when I was in my 20s. And I knew I would be a millionaire by now. So I know within the next, I'll give it 10, 15 years, you know, I know with the
it's
hard work
that
I'm putting in now, because I work hard every year. It may not even be that long, just that, because that's how much work I'm putting in. And so, I mean, and, you know, I just know, I mean, and I'm doing this for, you know, my family and my future family, and not only for the generational wealth, but also just to have, you know, a big name for my family, you know what I mean? You know, little people say that is Urban McCoy's grandson or granddaughter, great granddaughter, and they're gonna live a great life just because of what I left for them on this earth, you know, and the impression or the wealth, or whatever that I left here on this earth for them. So that's my goal.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Urban, Mr. Soul Man, out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. thank you. We're gonna go to all right now. Thank you. Now we're gonna go to the last 47422. If you wanna tell us who you are and if you have any questions on generational wealth that I can pass on to Dr. Ralph Steele, 7422. Okay, I'll come back to him. And now the next number we have is 5923. If you have any questions that I can pass on to Dr. Ralph Steele regarding generational wealth, if you want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from. All right. Silence gives us a moment. So let me see if I can play a commercial. Just one moment, and then we shall be back with doitallinthemall.com. I'm going to play Dr. Steele's commercial right quick.
Dr. Ralph Steele is owner of WealthThink Bank and Mediation Worlds, PLLC. His companies provide financial investments and also provide legal representation for employment cases. The financial investment business helps people start and sustain their financial legacies for their families. He's an international speaker and author of 17 books, the most recent titled A National Economic Plan for African Americans, available at Lulu.com. You can also find Dr. Ralph Steele in the specialty section at doitallinthemall.com.
All right, now. Thank you. Let me see here. Let me see if I can, if anybody's there wants to say anything. Call of the last four or 5923, would you like to say anything? Thank you. I'm trying to see what we have here. Thank you all just so much for taking the time and being here. So you can also share your business on Do It All in the Mall.
Let's Do It Radio is looking for you to share your business, events, and topics you feel are important to talk about with us. Let's Do It Radio. Again, if you have a business, idea, or an event, or a topic you feel is important enough to share, bring it to us at Let's Do It Radio.
Let's Do It Radio. Yes, tonight's show was on generational wealth, and we are here talking about generational wealth without Dr. Steele, which we would love to have, but something happened to him. So therefore, we are just filling in, and we just appreciate all of our callers calling in and taking the time to greet us and tell us where they're calling from. I'll go back to 7422 right quick, see if they have anything that they want to comment on. Caller last four, 7422, if you have anything to say. All right. Thank you. As I'm playing a little bit of music here. So we just appreciate each and every one of you, like I said, just calling in and hanging out with us and just, you know, being there for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Tell me who flop, who cop the blue drop, who jewels got box, who mostly go she down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on the blimp. Guarantee me a shell full of love or luck. You don't believe in Harlem World? Double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem with the Goldie sound. Can't no kid deep, hold me down, cooler. School me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie. True pimp, spin no dough on the booty. When you yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie. All the spots, rock all the rocks, top all the drops. I know you're taking now when all the ball stops. Never home, gotta call me on the yacht. 10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Now what you gonna do with a crew that got money much longer than yours? And a team much stronger than yours. Valet me, this is BOJ. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down fair. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Info for the DEA, federal agents mad cause I'm flagrant, got myself and the phone in the basement, my team supreme, stay clean, triple beam, miracle dream, I'll be that, catch a seat at all events bent, and holsters, girls on shoulders, play what, I told ya, me and Mike to me, bruise too much, I lose too much, step on stage, the girls boo too much, I guess it's cause you run with lame dudes too much, me lose my touch, never that, if I did, ain't no problem, it just where the true players at. Throw your rollies in the sky, waving side to side, and keep your hands high while I give your girl an eye. Player please, lyrically, see, B-I-G-B flossing, jig on the cover of Fortune, 5-0-0, take my phone number, your man, I got the know, I got the dough, got the flow down, pizza, that, black and plus, like this at, dangerous, on Trizak, leave you with Trizak.
Here's a short reel on the Ray Charles and Sam Cooke show that was done at the Asher Theater, and that's James Stevens III and Ron Dixon, longtime good friends.
Oh yeah.
great show. You all need to journey. Anytime you're in the South Carolina, the Myrtle Beach area, please stop by the Astor Theater. You can go to Do It All in the Mall, the homepage, and click on the link, and you can see all the shows, future shows, past shows, and everything they've done. And I just had a marvelous time when I was down there and saw the show for two nights. Excellent, excellent, excellent show. So the man of a thousand voices, Mr. James Stevens III.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
No, we do not, but that's okay too. I want to thank you to every one of you for hanging out with us. And you have been listening to Let's Do It Radio down on the homepage, as well as past shows on doitallinthemall.com. A special thanks to our guest speaker, which was Dr. Ralph Steele, but, who's a structured settlement broker from WealthThink Bank on Think Wealth on tonight's topic, Generational Wealth Part 2, and to all of our callers who have called us from South Carolina, from North Carolina, from Virginia. We thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging out with us, to me, stumbling, fumbling, and so on and so forth. We just really appreciate you. And we want you to come back in a couple of weeks on the topic of Think Wealth with Bitcoin Investments. And so we want to get ahead of creating generational wealth before it's too late. So make sure you leave your children with some generational wealth. And join us in 2 weeks. And please leave your comments in the chat room as you listen to the shows on the past episodes. So you can also visit the homepage of Do It All in the Mall under the Let's Do It Radio banner, which is found on the right-hand side. And you'll find all of the speakers throughout the week. We have tomorrow we have Stephanie Whitfield Lotton, Why Does Love Hurt? And her topic tomorrow is What is Good Parenting? And her time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. So join us tomorrow evening at 845-241-9985, or you can click on the Let's Do a Radio banner and just listen to the show. But Do It All in the Mall is a safe and secure 24/7 online shopping mall providing over 5,000 stores, owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Fraser for over 13 years. And you can shop for anything you need, as well as listen to entertainment in the comfort of wherever you are. And as you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up and the commission is earned on qualified purchases going back to your community. It's just the same as if you were going to the Walmart, Target, Amazon, but it's just through the mall and we get a commission. So it's no different. Everything is safe and secure. And if you need instructions, we also have instructions on how to shop. But it's, just go to Do It All in the Mall, and you can even type in Amazon. You can type in Target. You can type in your favorite store, Ace Hardware, Kroger, anything. And if it's not there, you can always contact us, and we'd be more than happy to add it so that we can get you there. So that's where we are. And we need you to make us be successful. So make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Donations are also welcome, and there's a donate button that you can click on, and we take all the major credit cards and also Cash App. And then Cash App is the $ Do It All in the Mall. And so if you need to contact us, you know, you miss some information, or you can always re-listen to the clip. But you can go to Let's Do It Radio, and maybe you have a topic for discussion. Or maybe you want to advertise your business. And you can do that by sending an email to doitallinthemall@yahoo.com. Or you can complete the contact us information on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com as well. Or the old-fashioned way works just as well. You can call us by dialing either 509-406 6920 or 813-900-7911. Or you can Skype and tune in, listen, talk to, chat with us at 845-241-9985 Tuesdays through Fridays, as we have on Tuesdays alternating Janet Schwartz, Keeping History Alive, and she alternates with the gentleman tonight, Dr. Ralph Steele, who's a Think Wealth Bank, who's a structured settlement broker. And Wednesday night we have Stephanie Lott Whitfield, Why Does Love Hurt? And her topic tomorrow is What is Good Parenting? And she alternates with Reverend Carolyn McCullough, teaching from the Bible, Bible study basically. And on Thursday nights, we have Hanging Out with Sergeant Parks, who's always keeping it real. And he doesn't alternate with anybody at the moment, but hey, our spots are almost full, so you can always contact us if you do it on the mall and check on the Let's Do It Radio banner to see what's going on that day. And then this weekend we have, or this week, this Friday, we have Terry Whaley, who is a vitiligo man of action out of Atlanta, Georgia. And he's vibing with vitiligo. And this week, we are talking about his book, My Three Wives. And so you got to join in and see what he's talking about, as he did write a book on My Three Wives. So please join us this Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And he alternates with Lee Alston, Gullah Soul Music. He is internationally known and very talented musician who does soul, jazz, spiritual, spoken word, inspirational, gospel, some of anything, R&B, and his is late night, so it's 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And Sundays, we have church service at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And this week, we have Reverend Carolyn Williamson on this third Sunday. So please share this information with everyone on social media. Spread the word. You know, get the crowd and get your friends and get them to join in, call in. You know, see what we can do for your community. The bigger the crowd, the broader the spectrum. And we're going to close out on Save That Money by Fetty Wap and Rich Homie Quan. But when you don't know what to do about achieving financial freedom or with your wealth, you got to put in the work and find out what to do. And Dr. Ralph Steele is there to help you, guide you, give you financial aid, financial wisdom, and he can direct you in your financial ways, financial freedom, and financial wealth. Once again, thank you for listening to Let's Do It Radio. You do it all in the mall. Find on the homepage and do it all. Found on the homepage of doitonthemall.com. And I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez of Unice Alco Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. And our speaker was Dr. Ralph Steele with Think Wealth, and his bank is Wealth Think Bank out of Arlington, Texas. Have a blessed night. Have a safe night, and be yourself. And remember, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. So if you don't have anything to leave, you won't have anything to gain. So we want to leave our children with this generational wealth, as we spoke about this week and as we spoke 2 weeks ago. So if you want to need to go to part one, go to part one, which was earlier this month, and listen to that. And we just want you to shop and just do it all in the mall. Whatever you do, just do it all in the mall. And as I say, we're going to leave you with Fetty Wap and Save That Money, featuring Rich Homie Quan.
Hey. LD, a.k.a. the independent variable.
Trip God, I was serving up the whole world.
Money just a flex on them, we ain't really gotta lie, yeah.
I'm a type of motherfucker that'll check the check, do the math, I ain't never getting right. Those margaritas not going on my car. I ain't about to split a damn thing for convenience sake. I'm at the restaurant working that way. Hold up, you ain't heard a little day, young L the Jew, biz major. You know about the world he raised in. I've been saving money since a mother 13. I wear the same pair of jeans every day. Free sandwiches, homie, two stamps away. Book flight December, but I leave in May. Drugs are generic, but still work the same. I get logins for Netflix for my cousin Greg. Thanks, Greg.
I swear to God, all of my people be scared of me, I put that rod in them. All of them acting thoughtless, I disregard them. All of them acting holy, ain't got no God in them. I can teach a little bitches out like Christian. I can take it up to church, fresh as hell, no Easter. I can make it there burp like a baby without a hiccup. I can...
Quan, what does this have to do with saving money, though? You know what, a full verse would have been too expensive anyway.
Try.
I ain't parking at a less than meter green, homie. Haircut several months in between, homie. Hit the motherfucking lights when I leave, homie. Single ply TP and bleed. Airbnb the motherfucking lease, I'm never there. I'm out in Cali, why the fuck my company in Delaware? At happy hour taking out a chicken, I don't even care. Now the plots of both dating and wings. Heat matinee, phone bill, got the motherfucking fam on it. 401k rolling over bands on it. Copper sweaters in the summer when the sale over. You rappers bragging about you overpaying for it. Low thread count, hard with the covers. Free trial memberships, out. I never joined the shoes, out. You think this is out? We been flying like a motherfucking fish, though. General style, half a dozen on a stick, just so I can wet the appetite a bit. What you talking about? My AC never do another blow fans. Walgreens car shopping all the off brands. Boy, go hard when collecting God Venmo. Save a motherfucking roach, try smoke. Check the clothes in my drawers, I ain't playing around. It's LD, little boy. Can you blame me now? You think I got 450 up in quarters on me while I'm fucking yo?
Around and got an iced coffee and the waiter been refilling that without a word of caution. And you get your bitch and billing, you can see double charging for the coffee. And you told him there's a problem, sing along like, oh, don't double charge me for that. Don't double charge me, we like, oh, don't double charge me for that. Don't do it to yourself, cause I might just ask what the ice cube's worth. What the ice cube's worth, that's the only differentiator making this a non-free perk. And I might make work more difficult for you than it need be. So think about it, take a minute, let it breathe be. But think about it, bro, you saw me get the burger with the bacon on the side. After looking at the price of the side of just bacon and comparing that to what the difference in the cheeseburger versus the bacon cheeseburger wasn't making my decision. I would hate to be the waiter trying to tell me something different. I'ma get on Yelp in a minute and review this piece of shit. Place like only a know how. Unless you take the extra coffee off, I might get loud unless you... Oh, it was just an accident. You didn't even mean to, you didn't even, that was, that's so, I'm so embarrassed.
Have a good evening and be blessed.